I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, panelists discuss developments from the latest Athens-Clarke County Mayor and Commission meeting, the final day of the Georgia Legislature, and more. That's coming up. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by my regular panelists, Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald, Blake Odd from Flagpole, and Gwenno Looney from WXAG. So we have lots of things going on, politically at least. Let's start at the state and see what's going on. We had the final day of the Georgia legislature this week. Lots of bills signed, a lot of bills still waiting, and some pretty big ones.
Well, this was Tuesday was the last day of the session, and so there's always a big flurry of action, you know, the last day or two, especially leading up to midnight on the last day. But the number one bill I think that people have been keeping an eye on is the House Bill 481, the anti-abortion bill, known as the Heartbeat Bill, which actually passed on Friday, and it only passed by one vote. There was some question about whether they were going to be able to whip enough support to get that through, the Republicans, I mean, and it squeaked by. They called it up on Friday as soon as they had that 90-second vote that they needed. And a lot of Republicans didn't really want to vote on this because it's such a controversial issue, and Republicans, especially in, you know, more moderate or suburban districts, are really vulnerable right now. But this is something that the Republican base loves and has wanted for, you know, for decades. And so they're really stuck in a tough spot. But finally found that 90-second vote, and so that passed. Governor Kemp is, this was a big part of his campaign, that he was going to sign the toughest anti-abortion law in the country, and this is it. He's probably going to sign it, probably going to go to court, probably going to lose. But it did pass.
I hope we will lose. I think that that kind of law is archaic. We know as a community what that did to Athens before. When you're 70 years old, you can look back 50 years and look at what it was like before abortion was medically possible and safely possible.
In the light of one recent U.S. Supreme Court decision, I wonder if it will ultimately fail. The Supreme Court ruled that it was not illegal for Missouri to execute this guy who had an unusual medical condition that would cause him to feel excruciating pain. And they ruled this was not, and that was not an issue. I mean, it's just a fact that he would suffer this pain. But the court ruled that this is not cruel and unusual punishment. So the Supreme Court is much more conservative than possibly ever in our lifetimes.
I'm not surprised.
Well, that's true, and that's why you see all of these bills being pushed through in legislatures all over the country. I mean, there are several other states that have passed these really stringent 6-week bans. You know, can't have an abortion after 6 weeks unless your life is in danger or you file a police report alleging that you've been raped or are a victim of incest, and you have to file a police report.
Yeah, and that's a different thing. You actually have to file a police report.
So this is so much stricter than what we have now. We had 20 weeks, thanks to Doug McKillop. But you know, there are very few abortions performed after 20 weeks anyway. So this 6-week to 20-week window, you know, 6 weeks, I mean, it's hard to even know that you're pregnant. So this is going to virtually ban almost all abortions in the state. I mean, it's almost just a de facto overturning of Roe v. Wade, or pretty close to it. But in these bills, Republicans are passing these bills in state legislatures all over the country because they're trying to get a case. And the circuit courts keep rejecting it. They keep declaring these laws unconstitutional. But they're hoping that one of them is going to get a favorable ruling, and they can get it before the Supreme Court and get Roe v. Wade overturned.
And that's not far away because they've been packing the courts for a long time.
Well, I mean, Kavanaugh could be the fifth, you know, unless John Roberts gets so concerned about the reputation of the court that he upholds precedent, then, I mean, Roe v. Wade is probably a goner if it gets that far.
But I was talking about district federal courts. They are being packed by—
Sure.
Yes. And they held even, off on approval of so many of
But they're
of
still striking down these laws.
That's right. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Two of them so far are very similar to the one that passed in Georgia already.
And as long as they match it against Roe versus Wade, they'll have to be struck down a little. But what you're saying is correct. They're trying to find that case that can get them in that small gap that makes it to the Supreme Court.
Right. We're still going through everything that was passed. Right. We're taping this on Wednesday, and so we've really only had a few hours to look at all the bills that passed and didn't pass. But I know Gwen had a few that have already been signed that she wanted to talk about.
House Bill 76 was interesting to me because it shows the status of alcohol and how it has moved out of being a controversial situation. For the first time, said that localities could restrict alcohol being sold less than the state distances, but not more, which completely turns around their past controls over how far away something had to be. We had a huge problem with this downtown because the university was so close, and it's an educational program, you know. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting, and I was glad to see that the Shore Protection Act was amended so that it did not give Sea Island a special exemption from the sand protections of the shore. Because we have a good law. We've got to protect it.
I get photographs very often from James Holland, the former Altamaha riverkeeper, who regularly flies up and down the coast. And that law is often violated, his photographs show.
Right, but, well, monitoring is what it takes. It takes people who care monitoring it, because the state is very lax about all of its monitoring. Look at our water pollution laws.
We can move on now to our local politics. Lee, you were at that mayor and commission meeting. What can you tell us?
Well,
lots of things.
Yes. There was a lot of talk about cash-free bail. There was a lot of argument about Robert's rules of order and the meaning of words, but I guess the overall impression I've gotten is that we have a commission who really wants to do something to help poor people. They're not entirely in agreement about how to go about it, and they still have not come to this place where they're going to have to face the budget. But I think we may see whatever steps the government can do under state law to eliminate cash bail, which inflicts great harm on poor people, really.
Really?
I think the commission will do whatever they can to alleviate that. And we are going to see some movement toward fare-free buses after a somewhat confusing argument between two commissioners.
Well, there were all kinds of motions and substitute motions and friendly amendments flying around, and I don't really even want to try to recreate it without it sitting in front of me. You would need a flow chart, you know, to kind of understand like what they were actually voting on. And I'm not even sure some of the commissioners knew, but you know, the cash bail thing, there were a lot of people, probably, what do you think, about 20 people probably showed up to talk about cash bail.
And that was arranged. That was organized by the Athens anti-discrimination movement.
You know, it makes me wonder if people aren't kind of already getting a little bit impatient, because we've had this new administration in place for 3 months now, and the wheels of government, they like the moral arc of justice, it bends slowly or turns slowly. But I think, you know, that they were really putting a lot of pressure on the commissioners. The commissioners are kind of like, we know, like, we're going to do something. It just give us a chance, you know. But and then the people want a citizens community. What was the other? There are various
police oversight
acronyms.
Oversight Commission?
Right, yeah, or advisory, but...
Wasn't that the anti-discrimination group? Wasn't that going to be incorporated into the police cooperation involvement?
Well, that people are asking for that, yes. I mean, it's not just AADM.
Right.
I mean, a lot of cities already have
it. That was kind of the decision last year, wasn't it? Wasn't that the culmination of their... No?
No. No, they created a Department of Inclusion.
And diversity.
And diversity, yes. Which,
that's one of the full-time positions that's being recommended
this year.
Yeah,
I mean, that really has yet to fully take shape. I think that's something that Mayor Gertz has in his budget. You know, he's working on the Citizens Advisory Board as well, but there's a lot of tension, I think, between the activist community and the people who were elected who came from the activist community and the people who are already on the commission, not so much in terms of what they want to achieve. I think everyone is pretty much on the same page about what they want to do, but it's more about the pace.
And the how.
You know, the goals I think everybody is in agreement on, but how you get there, that's really where the debate is.
Right. You know, 3 months may seem like a long time to a lot of people, and I know that because we had such an early election of our people, we did not use that time as well as I had thought we would, you know. We've known since, is it May that we knew?
Yes.
I think our community needs to adjust to the kind of partnership and support that we need during that long period of time that is going to happen with these nonpartisan elections. The other thing I would say is that this wheel, is rolling somewhere else. And Georgia has its limitations, you know, that we need to adjust anything to. But it would seem that we should be able to look at some of the alternatives that have been tested and worked in other places is always my tenure. The other thing I was interested in is Blaine Williams presented a budget, and that was unusual before the process.
Well, he didn't really present a budget. He presented sort of a framework
for
a budget.
Framework.
Yeah.
He talked about how we've been
remiss.
Deficit spending for the past 3 years and telling the commissioners that it's time to have a balanced budget and start building up that
general fund.
End of year reserve fund, which.
That's right. The unrestricted fund balance.
Which is supposed to be around 17 million, 2 months of operation.
Yeah, 25%.
That's what he wants to get it up to.
Yeah.
I think it's about 16 or 16% right now, because they've been rolling forward $1 million or $2 million every year under Mayor Denson.
Yes. And if we do go fare free transit, I mean, that's you have to pay for these things somehow.
There's been a lot of talk about probably what we're going to see, I think, in the budget is going to be fare free transit for seniors, which is an easy part to do. You know, the question is, if we go fare free, because UGA reimburses Athens Transit for the cost of every ticket for everyone from UGA who rides on Athens Transit, how do we, and we get $1 million a year from UGA because of that. If we don't charge anyone to ride the bus, then we can't charge UGA, because what they're doing is essentially buying a whole lot of bulk tickets.
It's not quite that much, but. It's a big deal.
It's a lot of money, though.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's a lot of money, and there are federal grants that we get if we were to go fare free, that we would no longer receive from the federal government.
We wouldn't get the match, right?
Yeah. So.
Right.
It's a lot. It's not just a question of replacing what we get at the fare box. There are a lot of other sources of funding that would put at risk. So
some
it's a
cities,
lot more money than.
Some cities such as Clemson have done it.
Yeah.
Clemson, where the university just pulled out of their agreement with them.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how they've done it.
Clemson is a much smaller city with a much smaller bus system, and it primarily was built to serve student apartments. So their situation is a little bit different than ours.
Yeah, they're very woven together, just focused on the campus. Yeah.
So this is an unrealistic idea then, fare free transit?
It's going to take a lot of, I don't know. I don't know if it can be done, but I mean, I think it needs to be continued to be explored and talked about. But I mean, like the debate between Commissioner Denson and Commissioner Neesmith. On Tuesday, I mean, it's just not something we can put into place right away. It's a lot more complicated than just we're not going to charge people anymore.
Yes. That was a strange argument because they were both kind of wanting the same thing
right.
this year, which is slow movement into this with the fare free for seniors, and then let's study what going further will take.
And they were talking about their, not even the budget itself, because the budget itself, it's not done, doesn't exist yet, but except in the mind of Blaine Williams, but it hasn't been released to the commissioners or to the public. What they were talking about was their goals and objectives for the budget. So there was a lot of arguing about semantics, you know, in addition to sort of parliamentary procedure, about the semantics of the wording of these goals and objectives, which kind of really bogged things down a lot. But ultimately, none of that, you know, those are guiding principles, but none of it matters until you actually get numbers on a piece of paper that you can shuffle around.
Some of the numbers I'm not hearing, though, that I'm concerned about, and here I am, same horn, blowing the same horn, in that we're still not looking at raising the level of maintenance that we have for our roads, for one. We have not been putting aside the kind of money that we agreed.
Oh, we can get all that from SPLOST.
That's what I was just going to say. And the other thing is the maintenance of our core parks, et cetera. We are not looking at, and I mean, 911, how many times have we fixed that with SPLOST? We are not including budgetary items that should be included in any company's budget. Maybe we can raise it with a penny.
They are pushing everything they can onto SPLOST and T-SPLOST
right.
to free up money in the general fund to pay for stuff that T-SPLOST and SPLOST won't pay for.
That's right.
Because, as you know, that's all capital. So anything capital that they can pay for of sales taxes, they're pushing off into that so they can free up the general fund money for programs.
Right. For operating, supposedly.
For operating and for new
right.
programs.
But we've never staffed Linen House to the level that was recommended from the very beginning. We are not supporting. I mean, if we're going to support these things, we need to really support them, or they need to be self-supporting.
Now there may not be enough money in the SPLOST to do those things, because another thing that the commission did last night was to vote for, what did they call it, combining the new judicial center and the municipal building and the old program allocation, modernization.
That was all meant to work together, right.
Yeah, so that's $82 million and $44.5 million for affordable housing. They said, we want to do that. That's got to be on the list.
The Classic Center Arena is still on there right now.
Well, not on the commission's list. I mean, not what they did last
night. Well, they didn't designate that as a project, but that's on the Citizens Committee list.
But the Citizens Committee.
So basically what the commission did was they went ahead and they they designated it. You remember back in December when they argued about they were going to designate
and they did
the courthouse,
designate, and then they
and then
didn't.
They undesignated it in January.
But now
when the new
they've
commissioners
designated
came
again
on and said, "Well, we don't want to tie the committee's hands." And then now they've decided that they are going to redesignate it.
Plus $21 million in interest, because under the state law, they got to borrow some money in general obligation bonds for some of these projects.
Right. But because, bonding
because
really
the,
helped us on our last BIOS.
Which leaves the Citizens Committee about $130 million, I think.
Well, if they want to keep the Classic Center on there, about 60.
And, yes, so that's about it's a third of what they approved before. That's going to be really hard. And it'll be interesting
now,
to see
did
what's
they,
cut and what's
I,
not.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Did they pass the $248 million version or the $278 million?
The $278 last night, $278.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. And I've said from the very beginning they should have held that reserve for themselves, that $30 million.
Mm.
Yeah, it would
so
have been.
So they could tax some things on.
Yeah.
What do you think
well,
about
so that
doing
they can
a
adjust as they go.
Or a time instead of this amount? 9 or 10 years is a long time in the future, it seems to me.
Well, you know, the first time we did 10 years, that's what everyone said. But it didn't seem, and it actually helped us in accumulating some monies and going through times that were a little bit of, you know, up and down that we had in our budget. So the 10 years was not the problem that we wondered about when we looked at it the first time.
I think now that we did one that was so long, that was 9 years, I don't know if we can go back, because during that 9 years, we obviously accumulated so many wants and needs. 88 projects, $1.2 billion. Right. You know, if we do another 9 or 10 year one, it's going to be the same amount, and we're going to be stuck doing another 10 year to pay for all the stuff that we didn't pay for 10 years ago.
That's right. And as long as we don't pay our debts, we will become less and less able not only to provide excellent services and build new things, but to have the credibility of our citizens. You know, I was downtown yesterday, and I could not believe they had used black asphalt to create a curb that had broken. You know, now supposedly this is temporary, but that's embarrassing that our downtown, and it has been on the last two SPILOS, and it's on this one too. Everything ends up down underground. Downtown is our living room. Anyway.
Don't blame the streets department too much. I think they work.
I'm not blaming anybody. I am just saying what is happening in that we are not having an ongoing maintenance program for what we own.
Because of SPLOST or?
Well, I think it's a lack of desire to raise the amount of money that we need to support some of the quality things that we've put into our community and that people do want.
Well, we have a project on Clayton Street that's happening that's going to involve a lot of above-ground stuff in addition to the underground stuff.
Finally, yes.
And, I mean, you know the backstory behind that, though. I mean, that's been sitting around for 15 years.
For two SPILOS.
Yeah.
For two SPILOS. Well, that's not the way you sell a program.
But it had to do with underfunding it to begin with, because then it went over budget and they had to find more money to finish it.
They could have redefined it. They had it. They wrote it in such a way that they could have redefined certain areas and done it incrementally. And instead, they've waited for the whole project, which everybody is so afraid.
But it would have been way more money to do it that way, because then they would have to go in and do one part and then come back.
So for 15 years, we have waited until our curbs are crumbling in.
That's just one of the things. I mean, there are so many things that could be better. The parks need renovations.
The parks are right.
What I'm trying to say is that is the danger of doing a 10-year. Is that when you get out to year 10. Inflation has taken off, and everything is so much more expensive than you originally thought it was.
And you've built a jail that you don't really need.
You built a jail that's twice as big.
We have done an excellent job of projecting these budgets. If you look at most of the budgets, the jail was a perfect example of what we haven't done. But other projects have come in on
did a good job on the jail budget, but it's just...
Well, that actually came in way under budget.
I was just going to say the jail budget, we did a terrible job on it. But it was against the recommendation of our then finance director.
It wasn't too low, though. It was too high.
That's right. Yeah. It was amazing. But the commission did not give us the option of looking at that. They held that within themselves and passed it as 100. You know, they passed it.
Well, they
there was
they
never that, a scrutiny of that budget.
They kept that out of the Citizens Committee's hands because they'd already rejected it one time.
Mm-hmm.
As they're doing with this judicial center that's twice the size of the existing courthouse.
Well, I would love to see some alternatives talked about.
I still feel like there has to be a cheaper way to do this.
There are other communities.
One point that I think is worth listening to that Ovita Thornton made was the Citizens Committee in discussing this, the most discussed item was the courthouse and the judicial center. And they asked questions about things like what is the racial composition of the people going in into the system? And they didn't get answers. And
nobody knows.
That's hard to believe that nobody knows. Is nobody really keeping up with that?
No.
That's astounding. And
I mean,
that's
if you wanted to find out, you would have to go into every individual case file and pull the corresponding police file.
Because their record systems
the
are so archaic.
And manually compare the two and do this for thousands and thousands of cases.
Right.
It's not that hard with computers.
Spios paid for a court communication system, a record system. Right. Spios paid for that.
Well, they didn't pay for a very good one, apparently.
Well, it was put together by the magistrate and the attorney, Ken Waldenshaw.
As I remember, that was all about getting all the various entities all using the same system so
yes.
they could communicate with
yes.
each other. It wasn't about record keeping.
I think that's right.
But record keeping is a part of their system. It should be a major, look at the records they keep for jurors.
This is data aggregation, which they don't need, but which we need to be doing so we can do analyses.
Right, a better job.
Well, that's what they don't need this to run the court day to day, but it would be really interesting to know, and it would help make policy. But, it's not necessary to actually run a courthouse.
And it would help them day to day when they know some of these trends and things that are actually happening.
Yeah.
It can't be a negative thing to know the trends, to know who's going in, what are the...
Right. And have an understanding.
I don't want to imply that people in the court system are against criminal justice reform or are not aware of what's going on, because they do. And I think they're struggling with what they can do as well as everyone else.
Well, and I mean, they're presenting a lot of these ideas to the commission. I mean, a lot of the stuff is coming from the judges. So, I mean, they're definitely aware and concerned.
I'd just like to see them where they expand the hours that it's available to people so that we can keep more people in their jobs. Jobs is the only answer to somebody being able to support themselves and to keep stay viable.
I'd like to say something that I heard our new police chief say that was really powerful to me. He's going around to various places in the community just showing people who he is and answering questions. And there was one Monday night at the H.T. Edwards complex off of Broad Street. And he told about how he grew up in a really bad section of Queens, I believe it was. But the discussion got around at some point to criminal justice reform. And he's very much on board with what that's all about. But he said at one point they were talking about your journey through the criminal justice system begins with your arrest. And he said that when you arrest somebody, you're giving them a life sentence, which is true because that follows you forever.
That's right.
And
all the studies show that to recover from that, it's very, very hard. And the expungement time in Georgia has grown across the across the years rather than gotten simpler.
We'll end it there. Thanks to my panelists, Gwenna Looney, Blake Odd, and Lee Shearer. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, WXAG, or the Banner Herald. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.